All right, Luke 10. This is the first time that we will have a total, complete study on repentance, because it's the second time it's been used in Luke, but anyway, verse 13. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Now, do you know about, everybody know what Tyre and Sidon are? Okay.
Right above the border of Israel, and what is now Lebanon, there are, the biggest city is Tyre. And it was an empire back in the early days in Phoenician. And then right up above it is Sidon. Both of them are seaport cities. And so the point of it is, he's condemning Israel because they didn't repent where Gentiles repented. That's the whole deal of this. But anyway, the word repented, we're going to first start in the Old Testament. There's two words for repent in the Old Testament. One is that we are very familiar with. We studied many years, shub. But the other one is nahum, nakum. And it means to pant or sigh or moan or lament. Or it also means to rue. But it has the idea of compassion and sympathy along with it for others. And so it's used 40 times in the Old Testament. And all the times it's used of God repenting. But the real meaning of it from God's, when we see God repenting in this, is that there's this compassion and sympathy for his creation. And yet they're still evil. So let's look at a bunch of these. Let's go to Genesis 6. That's a good place. Genesis is always a good place to start. Mm-hmm. We're going from this idea of repentance all the way to the New Testament idea, which is what we talked about yesterday, the repentance that produces faith that is automatic. Right? Everybody remember that and understand it? Except you be converted and become as that little child, and you shall know I was under the kingdom of God. And the little child was automatic. That's the whole point of it. All right. So in Deuteronomy 6... Genesis 6, I'm sorry. It came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all such which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days. What? Somebody, I thought somebody said something. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, why did Noah find grace? Remember, these things happened over hundreds and hundreds of years. But Noah found grace. Why? Anybody have any idea? All the other families of earth had been polluted. The seed had been polluted by this intercourse with the sons of what I think are the pre-Adamic age. And only the small number of people, the seed had not been polluted. And that's why they found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now that's hard to understand because we don't have anything about this whole idea of that there were beings other than human beings. But it's kind of apparent. There's all kinds of incredible. There's still these guys. I mean, they found skeletons of people that were 10 and 12 feet tall and bigger. Anyway, that's a long story. I don't want to go into it. So it repented God here. So that's the first use of repent. And that's nakam. He's grieved. His heart is grieved at man's iniquity. It's important to remember that everything from the beginning of time, from the creation of Adam first as a vessel, and then continuing on all the way to today, it's the protection of the seed. Protection of the seed. Protection of the seed. To keep that pure. So the vessel doesn't become totally and completely polluted. Now the whole idea then of why in the early days, when God was a bad God, that, oh, I'm kidding, of course, that they were instructed in the nation, and when they came into Canaan, to destroy every man, woman, and child in that, and have no intercourse, no joining with them in any way. Why? It was to protect the seed of Abraham. Here, the same thing. And Noah, it was to protect the seed of Adam. Then we had to protect the seed of Abraham. And now everything is done is to protect and reveal the seed of Christ. And that's the progression. Anybody understand? Everybody understand a little bit? Where'd Gary go? I want him to be here and argue with me.
He said he had an appointment.
I know. Stop Bible study without Gary. All right, let's see another one. Jonah 3. Now, we'll get that one later. Go to Jeremiah. Let's see a bunch of them. Jeremiah 18 first. Verse 1. The word of the Lord came, which came to Jeremiah from the word which came from Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I was sent down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy.
If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. So there we have it, both words. We have, if the people shub, then God will repent. And that's always the intent of repentance. Amen? Let's continue down. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it, to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return you now, again, shub, everyone from his evil way, and make your way and doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we all walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his heart. Of his evil heart, excuse me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Ask me now among the heathen, who hath heard such things. The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Now again, remember, this is the beginning, or relatively the beginning, of Jeremiah's ministry. He is talking to Israel at one of their most successful times. They have enough food and water. They have a good relationships with their neighbors. But to God, everything they're doing is pure evil. It's all the imagination of their own heart, which is evil. Okay? Now let's go to Jeremiah 26. Well, this is one's kind of interesting. So let's start in verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Now remember, Josiah was one of the heroes of Israel. The two best kings other than David were who? It's a good thing I don't get pissed. No, then there's four. I forgot Solomon. Good point.
Josiah, obviously.
Josiah. Remember the other one? When we used to study him?
Hezekiah.
Remember, that's where they had the Passover that was greater than any Passover that he ever had. All right. The son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, and again, we have this deal where we have Josiah, and they had great reform, then they had Jehoiakim, or I can't pronounce, then all hell breaks loose again. Thus saith the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which came to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I commanded to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. If so be, they will hearken and turn, shub, every man from his evil way, that I may repent me, knock them, of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of all the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, if you will not hearken to me, to walk in my way, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I send unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking those words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, "Thou shalt surely die." So instead of hearing, "Thou shalt surely die." So we got again. God is calling the people to repent, shub, to turn and go the other way. So that if they don't, he will, or either way, he will repent. If they do, he will repent of his way, because all beginning back is God's heart is grieved because of the evil. Okay, got that combination? All right, I don't feel like, well, let's go to one more. No, let's continue reading. "Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. And when the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house into the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as you have heard him with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes, to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against the city, and all the words that you have heard. Therefore now amend your ways, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of your Lord, of the Lord God, Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and necessary unto you." You get the picture, right? All right, that's a good place to stop. I don't feel like talking anymore. We'll continue on repentance.
When God was protecting the seed of Christ, or the seed of Abraham,
it starts with the seed of Adam. Then Adam screwed up. Then he chose one family to represent Adam, and that was Abraham. And so then everything was done to protect the seed of Abraham.
My question is, after Noah, were there still there was still corruption with the seed of man and sons of God?
No.
Because you had Goliath?
Well, there could have been. Okay, you're right. I don't know. Right. That, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, there had to be, because they found all the... Yeah, sure. Right. But I'm not sure how the corruption snuck in there. Probably it was a woman's fault. Take it, big guy.